Cool. So we are live. Good morning if you're watching. It's great to have you with us, especially since it's a nice bright sunny day and you're all stuck inside and you have to be with us. And also if you're listening back on the podcast, thank you so much for listening. It's I hope your weeks are starting to feel a bit more normal, I think, for want of a better phrase, with a bit of routine being kicking in. I know it's still quite surreal, but for a lot of you who are freelance musicians, this will affect you a lot. And today is someone I'm really fascinated to talk to, called Heather, who's a freelance musician. So thank you so much for being with us, Heather.
Oh, not at all. Thanks for having me.
Very welcome. Yeah, you're quite a fascinating person. Also, to give you some context, we've messaged on social media before this, but we've never actually spoken in person. So it's actually really nice to actually like chat to you properly.
To say, you're like my first proper like Instagram friend, so I'm very excited.
Always a great start. Well, so for people who don't know you already, how would you describe yourself?
So yeah, I'm a freelance viola player or violist. I never know which one of those to say. People always think I'm a violinist when I say violist, so viola player. I've been freelancing in the mainly orchestral and kind of string quartet sort of scene for nearly 5 years now. And yeah, that's basically me really. Studied in Cardiff, have remained in Cardiff ever since, so I freelance from there, which has been fab.
It's a good city for it as well.
Oh, I love it. I'm honestly the biggest advocate for Cardiff ever. So if you're ever thinking of moving here, chat to me. I can tell you all about it.
Sounds perfect. Well, yeah, so life as a freelance musician is quite eclectic at the best of times, for want of a better phrase. So for you, what's life as a freelancer, normal life before coronavirus chaos?
Yeah, it's hard to remember in a way. So normal life for me would look like private teaching during the week and then different gigs all over the country, basically on the weekends. Although this year has been quite a fun year for me. I've actually spent quite a lot of time in Dublin, in Ireland, doing some work there and just kind of a bit more, a full week of work in different places. So normal life basically doesn't exist, is the short answer. Every week is different. I've been asked quite a few times, what does a typical week look like for you? And the short answer is, I don't have one. But yeah, mainly it's teaching during the week, and often if you get like a recording gig or something like that, thankfully that's during the week and you can get home before 1 o'clock in the morning, which is always nice. And yeah, and then on the weekends, all over the country, doing different orchestral gigs, really.
Sounds fantastic. So there's a lot involved in there. And obviously there's been a lot of change now. How is life looking for you now with restrictions in place for coronavirus and your working life, or if that's possible and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so obviously most of my work involves being in a room with lots of people. So a lot of the work got cancelled pretty quickly, which was obviously sad but understandable. I was lucky that some of my work, they still honoured the fee, which hasn't happened for everybody. So, I was very lucky with that. But at the moment now, my life is primarily, I'm doing more teaching online, which has been an interesting experience, but it's been quite good. It's actually been much more successful than I thought it would be. So that's been good fun. But in regards to the playing work, at the moment it's just a little bit of a waiting game and see what we can make work, what we can't, trying to like chat to different people to do some live concerts maybe, live streaming like this. And yeah, and I'm basically just putting a lot more effort into my YouTube channel.
Well, that's a perfect lead into one of the next things. It's been great to see you online and what you've been doing. And it's also great to see you drinking coffee
Thank
because it's
you.
still far too early.
Oh man, seriously, this is my second one, so I might be a bit wired by the end.
That's one of the parts of being a freelance musician. Like 9 a.m.s are like a struggle.
Oh yeah.
It's for me at all times of life. But online, you've been doing some really interesting things about being a freelancer. And I think it's an interesting motivation of you trying to give back to musicians. So, what is your project Heather's plan and why did you start it?
So it's an Instagram account and a YouTube channel where, like you say, I just try and share a little bit about the things that I feel aren't really spoken about enough, particularly just in the performance and freelance space. Obviously, I'm coming to it from a musician's perspective, but to be honest, a lot of it I think can be applied to a lot of life, and particularly in the performance space, of just There are so many things that are a bit cloak and dagger and a little bit like, oh no, I don't want to talk to them about that because then they might learn my secret or something ridiculous. And to be honest, there are no secrets. There's no magic formula to this career. And I just started to get quite frustrated with the feel like everything was a competition and everyone was each other's sort of enemy, if you like. And I just thought, to me, that's completely pointless because more work is good for everybody. So therefore, us all talking to each other, networking, getting each other, often I'll get 2 gigs come up on the same day. I obviously can't do both of them. I need to find a dep. I'm gonna ask somebody who I know and trust, and obviously I know they're playing and everything, and I'm gonna get them, I'm gonna ask if they're free. So therefore, if you keep yourself isolated and you get shut off, you can't build up that list of contacts. And obviously, if I get a gig for somebody else, then they're, hopefully gonna get a gig for me in the future. And that's just how all these things work. So I wanted to build a platform, basically where people could just come and actually openly talk about these things without it being very like, oh, well, can I tell you that? Are you gonna take my work away from me or whatever? Just all this ridiculous stuff that we hear so much. And I just wanted to kind of smash through some stereotypes and just say, this is point, like keeping all of that to yourself really only harms you at the end of the day. So yeah, let's get the conversation started.
Yeah, totally. And from my time as a closet cellist, it was at music college, there wasn't anyone talking about how the career works on like an actual functional level of you do X, Y, and Z, and this is what a day looks like. It was more like you practice things, you have an audition, you have a salary, and then and
It's not works in real life.
not at all. And even with like, if you are, say, a permanent player in a pro orchestra, like LSO don't have full-time contracts in the same way that other orchestras do. America's absolute chaos with their general like
I don't
system.
understand.
Oh goodness. And yeah, and especially seems a lot of those have been now laid off because their contracts have a force majeure contract. They're now slightly screwed, for want of a better phrase. It's yeah, such I think a fascinating topic that you're going into something in quite practical detail of not just like the how to share your contacts and network, but also like how do you survive on the road when you're like going between hotels and like general travel tips for your instrument and all this different stuff. So I think it's really fantastic you've gone for this quite open and honest but practical approach. It's
I guess.
fantastic.
Sorry, I was gonna say that
No.
was just, that was something which I really, really wanted to pursue because, like you say, at college, we had one lecture on how to survive in the outdoor world, and I actually missed it because I was away from college on a college project. So I was like, well, that was helpful, and yeah, so I just thought, I wish that I could have had some videos just talking through those things to watch when I first became a freelancer. So I guess, yeah, that was another motivation for kicking it off.
Definitely. And what sort of reaction have you had from people or response to these videos and things that you've done?
So far, it has been overwhelmingly positive, which is lovely. And I guess if anyone's had any negative thoughts, they haven't told me yet. So we'll wait and see. Actually, I think the result really has been positive. And what has really surprised me is that some of the people who have got in contact and really been like, I really want to support you in this, like, please keep going, have been, ex-tutors of mine and old teachers and people probably like, the generation above me, really, who was saying, they've lived through this culture of quite, backbitey and all this kind of stuff. And they think it's refreshing to see somebody wanting to break through that and put a stop to it, which has been really, really, really nice. And I've had a few just really interesting conversations with people off the back of it, of them basically saying, I did a video on imposter syndrome, and I had really quite a few, I was quite surprised messages from people and friends of mine who were like, genuinely thought I was the only person, sat in an orchestra feeling like, oh no, they're gonna spot me kind of thing. And I was like, no, everybody's feeling like this. This is why, this is why I wanted to talk about it.
Totally. And I think music's one of these industries where everyone thinks everyone's an extrovert because you have to perform, and in reality there's actually so many introverted people out there who are in
So
musician
many.
jobs. And it's like, oh yeah, if we actually talked about this and worked out how we could empower people within their personality types, it might be a better system, which would be
Yeah,
quite nice.
shocker.
I know, who'd have thought that, eh? It's incredible. Yeah, it's something fascinating. And as you say, the having people come out and talk about things is really beneficial. So what are your future plans with Heather's plan? Like, what are your the topic things you're wanting to engage with, or how you're wanting to build, and what can you see it being in future?
So, in short answer, I'm one of my projects for this for this period of time being at home is to really set out a clear plan for that. And but the main thing is I want to keep making, yeah, like you say, just these very practical kind of how-to, for want of a better phrase, videos, and to just go into different subjects in a bit more depth. Particularly, you know, things that you might encounter at college and how to maybe deal with the environment there. That's something that I really want to do a video on because, you know, I really enjoyed my time at college. I know, you know, many people don't, and for good reason. And I think, you know, again, it's something that the more we talk about it, the more we can break it down. So I guess, yeah, I do want to grow it, and I want to sort of reach as many people as I can with it. Just purely because I feel really passionately about this stuff, and I genuinely think it can help some people. And like I said, you know, not just in the performance space, a lot of this is stuff that everyone goes through. Everyone feels like an imposter at some time. Everyone has to know how to organize their finances, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just want to get the conversation started, and the more I can do that, then the better, really.
Definitely. And as you say, it's not just the music world. I'm also having the sun just come in and blind me from in between clouds at the moment, hence why I'm going like bright and then completely dark.
Ridiculous.
But yeah, a while ago I wrote a short blog on introvert networking for musicians, and it was based on being at events where I thought so or someone asked the question of how to network as an introvert, and I thought they got bad advice. So I did a blog that I thought no one would read, and I was amazed at, again, the response, but not just musicians, but people in the music admin world. So the
Yes.
Association of British Orchestras shared it before their conference as like a tips for people coming to the conference, and that's mainly the admin world of musicians. So it was amazing to see, yeah, everyone has these elements of struggle, which is interesting. So you've talked quite a lot about the benefits of other people and how you're wanting to reach and empower them. How would you feel that it's helped you, or what have you learned about yourself from doing this as a project? Slightly deep question, but you've had
I
coffee.
was gonna say, I was like, oh, I think it's shown me that I really do have a passion for this. You know, I really enjoy talking about them, like topics. I really enjoy delving into my own experience and really thinking that through. And when you know, make a video or a blog post on something, you have to kind of make your thoughts a lot more coherent, and that can actually help you work through what you really feel about things or what you really think about things. And I think it's given me a lot of confidence, definitely. Just in terms of knowing that I can present well or, you know, communicate effectively and all of these things. And for me, that's been a real confidence booster just walking into new environments because I've really processed what, you know, how I feel about it and how I know lots of other people do. Walking into, you know, a new orchestra, for example, isn't nearly as scary anymore, which has been a really interesting sort of byproduct and not one that I expected. Because, in a way, the thought of me being in an orchestra with other people who might have watched my videos was actually something that put me off making them for a very long time. I was like, oh God, that's gonna be so embarrassing, like, you know. And actually, the complete reverse has been true. So, yeah, it's been really encouraging. I think it's built my confidence up a lot in those kinds of environments, which has been really, really lovely. And like I said, you know, I've met new people, yourself included, and you know, and just kind of building up that community has been, yeah, a really lovely side effect that I didn't anticipate.
Definitely. I still remember, I think, the first time we messaged, and it was something, I think it was an Instagram story of like, benefits of freelance life, and it was me with like I think a beer and pancakes working in a coffee shop or something ridiculous. And I'm like, yes. It's like
That is
something like that. It's probably depressingly early for a beer as well.
right.
Something you just mentioned I'm really curious about is that you were put off about making these videos for a long time. How long ago did you have the idea before starting wanting to talk about your freelance journey and to help other people?
So I had this idea. I'm trying to think when I actually started my Instagram account. It was, oh gosh, probably a couple of years ago. And I was listening to a podcast actually on I can't remember the name of it now, but it was basically a, starting up your own business and how to promote that and all of these things. And I was really inspired by it. I was out for a walk at the time and I thought I should make a like work Instagram account where I put all the photos, of where I'm gigging, what I'm doing, just to kind of, sort of as a record for myself, because it'd be quite nice to look back on and see what I was doing, see how far you've come, all that kind of stuff. And I made this Instagram account and I called it Heather's Plan because classically I didn't want to put my full name to it. But also I wanted something that was a little bit more snappy, a little bit easier to remember, I guess. And so I only invited certain, or I only told certain friends about it. I didn't tell everybody. I didn't promote it on my other, my personal Instagram account for quite a while. And I just kind of started posting things, but doing it quite quietly. And then I was watching, a few YouTube videos once, and I came across one which was sort of advice for performers. And again, I didn't think it was very good. I disagreed with a lot of what she said in terms of, I just didn't really agree with it. And I was like, oh, maybe I should talk about this kind of thing. I've got a different perspective. It may, whether people agree with it or not, it's a different one to this. And this is basically the only one I can really find. So I was like, oh, maybe I could start a YouTube channel on that. And that was about a year ago. So then it took me from, yes, it was in April of 2019. And because I remember writing, like journaling about it at the time. And then it took me until the December to actually do it. And I filmed several videos in that time. And I mean, they weren't the best anyway. I tried to fit too much into one. But yeah, watching them back, I was just like, oh no, everybody's just gonna think this is so silly. Like, nobody's gonna want to watch this anyway. Any of my colleagues are just gonna be like, ooh, cringe. And yeah, and so then I did a few gigs at Christmas, basically with the people that I was most worried about, judging me or whatever. And I kind of broached it to one of them, and she was just like, oh, that sounds like a really cool idea. And I was like, oh. This isn't, I built it up into this huge deal in my head and it really wasn't. So yeah, so that's when I made the first video, and yeah, here we are.
I totally empathize as well. Like, this is technically, I think, episode 6 of the podcast, and the episode 3 was 2 years ago. So it's like similar thing. I'm like,
Nice.
yeah, I'll do this, and then like, oh, maybe later, and da, 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 da. And yeah, it's always tricky to one like carry on with momentum, but also like I don't want to put it out there because people might see it, which is strange because it's
Yeah.
part of the reason you're doing it. But
I don't
it's
want people to actually watch them.
exactly like if I can get the views, but people watch with their eyes closed and like hands over their ears, that'd be great.
That'd be
Definitely. Because my coffee's kicked in, I'm feeling mischievous. So you said about
Oh.
watching advice that you thought was potentially bad. What advice have you heard that you think is not particularly helpful? And I can
Mainly.
let you get away with not naming names.
Okay, I was gonna say, I was like, I'm not gonna name names, I don't wanna get myself in hot water. The main bits of advice I've heard are around the idea of competition. And it is a competitive world, for want of a better, for want of a better word, in a way. And we once had a lecture at college which was all around audition technique, allegedly. And one of the bits of advice they gave us there was basically how to take down your opposition in the waiting room. And I remember sitting there just being like, I'm sorry. And they were basically like, how you conduct yourself whilst, because you are waiting with everybody else that's going to audition. It's a weird scenario. And they were basically like how you present yourself, how you talk you know, how you talk to people.
A really firm handshake, just like
Really
brush.
firm handshake, you know, break some fingers, then they definitely won't play well. then, you know, you can put them off their game. And I remember at the time being like, I don't think I want to be like that. You know, that's not in my personality, and I also just think that's kind of mean. So there was that one. The other one has been, yeah, about giving out advice or not getting, when you get people into debt for you. You want to get somebody. The advice I was given was get somebody who is obviously, you know, they need to be a good player because, you know, it's a professional world, all of that. But don't get somebody who's too good, because if they're better than you, then that orchestra might book them again the next time rather than you. And I was like, oh, well, now I'm just overthinking everything, you know, and
How do I
stuff like
compare my friends and
yeah, exactly. Which of my friends do I think is not quite as, you know, not quite as good as me, but still quite good? Oh, it's just ridiculous. So yeah, they're probably the main two that I've heard more than once.
Right, yeah. I hadn't heard the one about putting people off in the waiting room. That's a
Yeah.
shock to me. Did you see about the career advice given at Royal Academy of Music a few years ago by one of their members of staff that got leaked?
Don't think I did, no, but I want to now.
This could be a fun conversation for like sending some links out
Send me the
later.
link after.
Definitely. So it made national news as it was a relatively new member of staff who was their careers advisor. Ended up doing a presentation or lecture and then sent out the lecture notes. And like they were ridiculous. I think maybe an informal lecture notes, but basically advice was things on the lines of what goes on tour stays on tour.
Oh, yeah.
Violinists should be referred to as gippos because of like apparently that's a terminology. And I'm quoting verbatim. And surprisingly, a little bit racist.
Little bit, yeah, a little bit.
And all these different things that like went down, like either enabling scenarios of abuse and various bits of harassment, etc. There, all the way down to then bits of racist terminology, just bad advice in general, alcoholism, all these different things just compounded further and further down. Really good on Royal Academy Student Union. They challenged it, and when they challenged it, this person then doubled down, and then basically just said like, "This is exactly what the world is like. You're meant to know." Blah 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 blah. It then got leaked. I wasn't involved in the initial press release of this, which is why I know a little bit more about this subject. Exactly. I was like, I'm a dog with a bone. I will charge off and like
Yeah,
fight battles.
I'm gonna run with
And then this person then got fired, but Royal Academy, I think, then didn't do the firing correctly, so they then won at their employment tribunal. But it's just surreal to think that this is like what goes on tour stays on tour, for example, is official career advice from an education institution, which is
Yeah,
just like.
but I think that's why I've had quite a good, you know, response from, like I said, the slightly older generation. They're gonna hate me for saying that, but you know, in response to what I've been saying, because they have lived their careers with people who think like that, and you know, they're there going, this isn't okay, this isn't right, and you know, there's been, you know, years of sadly a history of teachers, you know, being inappropriate with their students and things like that, which for a very long time was just considered the norm, and that's, you know, you had to do what you have to do kind of, you know, language. And obviously that's something which thankfully now is starting to be, you know, pushed out. I don't think it's completely gone in all areas, and this is why it's so important to talk about these kinds of things and to let people know that that is not okay, that is never acceptable. And you know, people who are still of that mindset, either they need to change, and they need to learn that we are no longer operating in that way. And the only way they're going to know that is if we start getting shouty about it.
Exactly. And in summer, I met Anne Majette, who at the time was the Washington Post music journalist slash critic. And she was really
Yeah.
instrumental in all the Me Too investigations to people in classical music in America. And it was fascinating talking to her about her journey of coming to it and also the level of detail that has to go into then being able to publish something. And I can't remember the top of my head, so I'm not going to quote, but the amount of corroborating of stories of multiple accusations
Yeah.
in order to get to print is just insane. And
Yeah.
it's, yeah, it's such a prevalent thing, which is heartbreaking to know it happens, but it's good that we're finding a situation where it's pushing forwards and it's been challenged. And also there are now
Yeah.
repercussions and people are getting their comeuppance
Yes,
and it's, I hope,
exactly, which they didn't used to be. I
not at
think
all.
because particularly if they were a very, in quotes, well-respected professor of some kind, you had nothing. If you reported them, then everyone would just be like, well, you should be grateful that you're getting taught by them at all. And then it was just like, I'm sorry. Like, no. So I'm excited that that is getting better, but we still have a way to go.
Definitely. Well, moving on from what is a challenging topic to something a bit more practical for going forwards. Obviously, you've had to learn quite a lot over your journey of making YouTube videos and putting out content to connect online. So as a freelance musician, do you have any tips of what people can be doing during this time, how they can do it, where they can find information and resources, and that side of things? Small question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing is, if you want to learn how to do anything, YouTube is the place to go. There is a video on absolutely everything under the sun. So if, just as a precursor. And secondly, I think for musicians at the moment, online is obviously the place to go. But I don't be put off if you don't have really snazzy equipment. I know a few people who have said, I want to teach online, but I don't have a microphone, I don't have a fancy camera, I don't have all of this. And you don't need that. Just go for it. Get yourself set up, find somewhere you can prop your phone and you're good. You can do it. You can do it that way. So that would be my first thing is, don't discount yourself just because you don't have, all the equipment, as it were. I'd also say, if you have something you feel passionately about, now is the time to start talking about it, because people are stuck at home, they're wanting more content to consume at the moment. So now is really, use it as an opportunity to put that time that you would otherwise be spending, traveling or gigging or whatever, and channel it into that maybe little hobby or that side project that you've been thinking about doing for a while, because you will never, literally, you will never have more free time than you do now. And so, yeah, I'd say that would be the main thing. And like I said, just go for it, because if you have, like I said, if you're passionate about something, somebody else is passionate about that same thing. So put it out there, get chatting to people, chat to your friends, ask them maybe to collaborate with you, and you can just like chat through some things, maybe do a duet concert, put it on live on Facebook. You can easily set up a donation page. Facebook makes that really, really easy, which is amazing. And yeah, just get started, because otherwise you'll get to the end of this time, you'll get back to being really busy, and you'll go, oh, I could have, done something there.
Yeah, and it's, I now have like a newfound appreciation of just how hard it is to make YouTube videos and that side of things. Well, not necessarily hard, but the time consuming. So I don't want to like put anyone off by saying it's like difficult to do, but all of a sudden you think like, oh, it's easy to make a 10-minute video, and you're just like, oh wow, like the amount of effort and time and hours and swearing at yourself in a room of talking on your own.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I'm still in the process of editing a 10 to 15 minute short video for a slightly bigger project than YouTube, which is now very much on like hold because it was about travel. So that's slightly bad timing. But yeah, I think last time I looked, I think I had 7.5 hours of footage for a 15 minute video. So it's going to be a great edit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to editing it, but it's going to be fun. But so looking forward, what plans do you have to make the most of this time where you've got all this chance to make loads of digital projects and things?
So my main focus is my YouTube channel. I think, again, just because, like you say, it's a very time consuming pursuit. So now I do want to put a bit more effort into that. I am also, it's worth saying I'm grateful for the time to practice, but also just to kind of get back to playing for fun. I think that's something that can so quickly be stripped away if you become a professional musician, because obviously, I love what I do, performing on stage, playing my viola with other people. There's nothing that makes me happier in this world. But at the same time, you very rarely just get music out and have a bit of a play. So that's something which I'm keen to do more of, and just to put less pressure on it. because, you know, all auditions have been cancelled, all projects have been cancelled. So there's nothing, but I'm like, I have to learn this, and there's a deadline and there's pressure, you know, just learning things without the pressure. That's something that I'm A, enjoying already, and B, you know, looking forward to doing more of.
Oh, amazing. So going forwards, do you have any predictions? This is definitely putting you on the spot now. But do you have any predictions of how life's going to be for freelance musicians once this period of time's over? Is it going to go back to being normal, or because we've now had to be adapt and try and have different creative ways of doing things, will it be different, and how will it be different? Crystal ball time, basically.
So I think, I mean, I do think overall it'll go back pretty much to normal. The thing that I'm hoping will happen is that people have really missed the theatre, concerts. You know, that's been a big thing, or, you know, music festivals, all this stuff that's been cancelled. So in a way, I guess I kind of hope that people will come away, you know, the wider public will come away with a new appreciation for those things. And you know, yeah, that they'll realise how much they missed it. Practically for musicians, I think the online concerts, I think that will continue. I think people have realised that actually there's a huge amount of value for people watching these live, you know, live concerts. Even though it's through a screen, there's a huge amount of value in that. And I think that's something which will definitely continue, and something which I've loved seeing, and it's been really exciting, is musicians from all over the world, you know, recording on, you know, layering it up and producing this, you know, a quartet where the four members are literally in different countries. And I'm really hoping that that will continue, because I think that is just, you know, using the internet to its most sort of beautiful purpose, if you like, of bringing people together and just showing what you can do with, you know, some incredibly talented musicians and some recording equipment.
Yeah, it's great to see people really getting into grips and actually sort of embracing technology. And I've been surprised with talking to people how much they've kind of enjoyed teaching online, and some of them saying, it's been quite nice not to have to like travel between different rooms and do the X, Y, and Z. I could just sit here and then go away again. Obviously, there's bits of it that are harder, but it's, it's good to have all these different options and things. Lovely. So before we go, where can people find you on the internet, such as Heather's Plan and general like life and the world on the internet and things?
So yeah, I'm Heather's Plan on Instagram and YouTube. I don't have a Facebook page yet, but bear with, because that is on my list of things to do this week. So Heather's Plan at everything. And yeah, just come, and I really want to encourage people to, you know, comment below my photos. I have to put a photo up because it's Instagram, you know, or video, whatever. But please get, you know, let's get in the comments a little bit more. And I will always do my absolute best to reply to everything with, you know, a good reply and get that conversation. So yeah, come find me there, and I will be more than happy also just to answer any questions. If people have, you know, if you have a question that you're a bit like, oh, I'm a bit embarrassed to ask this or whatever, just DM me, and trust me, I'm the least judgmental person ever, I hope. And yeah, just, you can ask me anything, I don't mind.
Sounds perfect. Well, you'll laugh at me now, because I haven't actually quite worked out how to end these podcasts yet. So it's just going to like fizzle out into a bit of a ramble. It's basically, that's how that the previous one ended. I think this is similar. So thank you again very much for either watching or listening. The next podcast, I think, is on Wednesday. Really great to have you with us. And do let me know if you have any questions going forwards, or people you'd want to be on the podcast. Yeah, it's going to be a disappear and go. So thank you so much for being here,
Amazing.
Heather.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. Bye.